that most of us don't really like to hear preached about because we're not always where we need to be. And this virtue is long-suffering. That word long-suffering is an old English word to basically mean to have patience. And patience means to be able to persevere calmly, especially when faced with great difficulties. In the original language, this word is made up of two words that mean slow and wrath. And I find that very interesting because I think that God is trying to tell us something about ourselves in those two words. It could be because of how short that you and I are often with other people. I like that word short because it describes the opposite of how we are to behave. I think long-suffering or short-suffering. Most of us are short-suffering and not long-suffering. In verse number 19, it describes one of the works of the flesh that we previously preached about, and that word is wrath. And that is exactly the opposite of what God is describing here when it comes to this virtue we're going to look at tonight by the way of long-suffering. Here's the truth. You and I need to learn to wait on people and let God patiently do His work in their life. We don't like doing that. We don't like to wait. We see something wrong in someone's life, and we point our finger and sometimes snub our nose, and we get angry at them. And listen, we need to patiently wait on people and let God do a work in their life. Think about this. Do you remember how long it has taken you to get to where you are right now? And by the way, let me help you and help me as well. None of us really have arrived. How long has it taken you to get where you are right now? And still, you have not arrived in a place that would be totally where God would have you to be. Thankfully, long-suffering is an attribute of God. In Exodus 34, in verse number 6, the Bible said, "The Lord passed by him and proclaimed, 'The Lord God, merciful and gracious and long-suffering and abundant in goodness and in truth.'" Because he is long-suffering, guess what? It's an attribute that he commands you and I to have as well as his children. In Ephesians 4 and verse 6, we get a little glimpse of this where the Bible says, "Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath." You know, we live in a day of quick paybacks with no mercy. And I think it's a day and age where we live in where most people do not practice any form of biblical patience in their life. And this virtue of long-suffering is not going to be developed by your sheer determination. You're not going to leave these doors and say 30 minutes from now and you're going to say, "I'm going to determine to be long-suffering in my life. I'm just going to knuckle down, pull up my bootstraps, and I'm just going to be what God would have me to be." That is not the way that we have long-suffering in our life. Understand, if you have long-suffering tonight, it's only going to be and it's only developed as you yield to the Holy Spirit as He works in your life. So tonight, let's look at some aspects of this virtue of long-suffering. So let's stand as we give respect to the reading of God's Word, and we'll read Galatians 5 and verse 22 and verse 23 once again. The Bible says in Galatians 5 and verse 22, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." Heavenly Father, we just humbly bow before you this evening, Father, and we thank you for the preciousness of your word. Thank you for this wonderful book of Galatians that teaches us that we can be free, free from sin and free from the law. But Father, I thank you as well that it teaches us about the fruit of the Spirit, those virtues that we ought to exhibit in our life, Father, as a born-again believer in Christ. So Father, as we look at long-suffering today, I pray, Father, that this will not be a message of condemnation, but Father, one that we could look at and say, yes, that I'm doing pretty good, but God, I'm going to allow the Holy Spirit to work in my heart, in my life, in order that I might to be more long-suffering toward those around me. So, Father, would you save that one that's closest to hell this evening, Father? And I pray, Lord, that you'll receive honor and glory for everything that's said and done here, pleasing to you this evening. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Notice, first of all, this evening, the perseverance of long-suffering. The perseverance of long-suffering. Perseverance is determined persistence. It's also been described this way: to persist steadily in an action or a belief, usually over a long period, and especially despite problems or great difficulties that come your way. You see, learning to be long-suffering enables you and I to persevere in difficult times. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 6 and verse number 4, "But in all things approving ourselves," in other words, we could say understanding the approval of God, "as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, and in distress." James puts it a little bit different in James 5 and verse number 10. He says, "Take my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience." So we ask ourselves this question this evening: what is the purpose in long suffering? What is the purpose in long suffering? Well, first of all, it's because he corrects us. He corrects us. God allows trying situations to come into our life to correct us. In Hebrews 12, verses 6 and 7, the Bible says, "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not?" You see, God oftentimes allows trying situations that come into our life to correct us. There is some errors and perhaps even sin in our life, and God allows trials that come into our life that he might correct us. That word endure in Hebrews chapter 12 means to bear up under hardship. Life situations aren't always comfortable, and oftentimes God allows trials and tribulations to come our way because there's a correction process that needs to take place. Well, the first purpose, I believe, for long-suffering is that God will correct us. But notice, secondly, he challenges us. He challenges us. You know, God allows trying situations to come into our life that he might challenge us. God allows trying times that in those challenging times that he might test us. And in Psalm 119 and verse 71, the Bible said, "It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes." You see, oftentimes when God challenges us during trying times and tests us, we get to the end of our rope, and we get to the end of our wits, and finally we open up God's word and we say, "Okay, God, what is it you're trying to show me here? What is it you're trying to correct in me? What are you trying to challenge me?" And God's word is there to teach us to do that. He challenges you and I to rely upon him. In Psalm 34 and verse 8, God's word says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him." Now listen, Psalm 34 and verse 8 is great, but here's the truth: that if you don't learn of thy statutes, you're never going to taste them. You're never going to see that the Lord is good, and blessed is the man that puts his trusteth in him. Well, we find that we have a purpose of long-suffering is to correct us and challenge us. But then notice, thirdly, it's to use us. If you're in alliteration, you can put cues us. And that C would be a hard C. So that may kind of be alliterated for you there if you want that. But if not, just write use there. You see, God allows trying situations that we might become usable to him. Oftentimes, we're not usable to God. We have imperfections that God doesn't like and holds us back from being used by God. We don't have the knowledge of God's word. Maybe we have some unconfessed sin in our life. But God allows trying situations that we might become usable to him. In Genesis 50 and verse 20, we find this: "But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive." So you know that this is speaking about Joseph. And when Joseph was sold into slavery by his brothers, he had no idea how God would use him one day. You see, understand this evening that Joseph's long-suffering through trials and through the testings allowed him to be used by God in a great way to save the nation of Israel. Well, the first question is, what is God's purpose in long-suffering? Notice the second question, why is long-suffering a priority with God? Why is long-suffering a priority with God? We wish that it wasn't because we don't like long-suffering. But to God, it's a priority. I think it's a priority because it is to conform us into the image of His Son. You see, we are to display God's presence within us to a lost and dying generation. Now, Romans 8 and verses 28 and 29, that familiar passage of Scripture to many, says this, "And we know that things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate." Now get these words, "to be conformed to the image of His Son." Now just stop for a moment there before we finish that verse and think about that. "For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son." That is God's desire for you and I, that we be conformed to the image of His Son. Let me ask you before I read the rest of the verse, how you doing on that? How am I doing on that? How we doing collectively together and forming ourselves in the image of Christ? And the Bible goes on to say that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. The truth of the matter is this, that in adversity, we want God to do a removing job. Think about it. In adversity, we want God to do the removing job. But in reality, God oftentimes wants to do an improving job on us. But because of our flesh and our weakness and our desire to not like long-suffering, we want God to remove something from us. But God wants to do an improving job upon us. So, my friend, when we think about our willingness to wait on the Lord, is ultimately an expression of your faith in Christ. Well, not only do we see the perseverance of long-suffering, I want you to notice, secondly this evening, the influence of long-suffering. The influence of long-suffering. You see, long-suffering will influence all those people that are around us. Someone said this, "Long-suffering is the grace of God given to man who could get revenge but chooses not to do so." That is a good definition of long-suffering. You see, when we exercise long-suffering as a fruit of the Spirit, we'll have a godly influence on many, many different types of people. You say, well, who are those people? Well, I'm glad that you asked, because first of all, when we exhibit long-suffering, we'll have influence with our families. You know, sometimes we have the least amount of patience with those that we love the most. Think about that. We have the least amount of patience with those that we love the most. Instead of acting right, you know what we do? We react wrongly. And God says, I want you to act right with long-suffering towards them. But no, our flesh and our desires and our wills, we say, I'm going to react in a wrong way. And most of the time, we act and react in the wrong manner because of unrealistic expectations that we have on the person. We expect our family members to be the best child that there ever was, and expect our spouses, our husband and our wife, just to be the model kind of person that you expect them to be. Well, hey, let me help you. Your child is not always going to be the best person they can be. Your husband or your wife is not always going to be the best kind of person that they can be. And guess what as well? In turn, neither are you going to be the best person for them. But understand this, the Holy Spirit can help us to be patient with our families. Remember, as I said on the onset of this message, that we can't have long-suffering by sheer will and sheer determination. We can't do that because we live in this flesh. It is true that there are some people that are more long-suffering than most. But if you have anything close to an A type of personality, long-suffering is not one of your best traits. But the good news is the Holy Spirit can help you to be patient with your family. You understand this evening that a good marriage is not a result in finding the right person? I thank God that I found the right person. But just because I found the right person and Miss Diana doesn't mean that I'm going to have a great marriage. The idea is simply this. A good marriage is the result of me being the right person to her and her being the right person to me. It's not a result of finding the right person, but being the right kind of person. Obedient children are the result of the respect that you show your children and the training that you give your children. Don't ridicule your children. Now, we all fun and have jesting and jest with each other. I'm not saying we joke around sometimes. I'm not talking about that. But literally, don't ridicule your children. Do not put your children down. Don't act like your children are an annoyance to you. Even if they are, don't act like that. Because sometimes when we're not in the right frame of mind, we might believe our children or even our spouses are an annoyance to us. This is what we do to our children. We love them and gently lead them according as the Holy Spirit guides us to do that. Well, we can have influence over our family, but then guess what? It doesn't stop there. We can have influence over others as well. And this display of long-suffering in our life is the product of God's love that's been shed abroad in our hearts. In 1 John 4, in verse number 19, we find these words. We love him, and I'm not being a heretic here, but I'm just going to insert a couple of words. We love him and others because he first loved us. You see, that's the only way that I can love you is because God first loved me. And he loved me and he loves you. And because he loves me, I can love you. Guess what? Without him, his love being shed abroad in my heart, I'd have a hard time loving some of you. And some of you are thinking, right back at you, Pastor, I got you covered right there, amen. And I agree, we're only human, right? In 1 Corinthians 13, in verse 4, the Bible says, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. You see, charity suffers the weakness and ignorance and errors of others. And may I add, and not very proudly as well. You see, it waits for God to accomplish his divine purpose. In 1 Peter 2, in verse 23, Peter writes and says this, who, when he, again it's speaking about Jesus, was reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. You see, some examples of others might be our neighbors. You know, we ought to be and exhibit long-suffering towards our neighbors. You know, for a long time, my neighbor, not this neighbor, but the neighbor before that, when he would mow his grass, wasn't very often. At the time he mowed his grass, it probably would be more like hay. He would mow his grass, he would blow it over on my side. And I'm not, you know, very particular about grass mowing. I try to do a good job and make it look nice for the neighborhood, but they didn't care. And listen, I tried to be as long-suffering as I could until one day the long-suffering ran out and short-suffering came in. I went and got my blower at 8 o'clock at night, fired it up, and blew that hay already back on his driveway. And then I felt guilty about that. So about 15 minutes later, I had to go back out with my blower and blow off his driveway, get it up, and put it in my trash can. You see, long-suffering towards our neighbors. How about our co-workers? Paul says in Ephesians 4, in verses 1 through 3, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherein ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness. Get these next words. With long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bonds of peace. I think of Colossians 3 and 23. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as unto the Lord and not unto men. I think there's a third area that we ought to exhibit long-suffering to, and that's our friends. The Bible in Proverbs 17, verse 17 says this, friends loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. I think that we ought to be long-suffering. Now get this now, if you forget all the others, remember this one, towards church members. Paul makes this abundantly clear in Galatians 6 and verse 10, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men. And notice the last part of this verse, especially unto them who are the household of faith. That means brothers and sisters in Christ. Let's be long-suffering and do good unto those who are part of our household of faith. Well, not only do we see the perseverance of long-suffering, the influence of long-suffering, notice lastly, the deliverance of long-suffering. The deliverance of long-suffering. To be delivered means literally to be rescued from something. Primarily, it means from captivity, to be rescued from hardship or domination of evil on one's life. Keep in mind that it's God's long-suffering that saves us and keeps us. Paul writes about this in 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 10. He said, "Who delivered us from this so great a death, and doth deliver us, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us." Our salvation, who delivered us, is from the penalty of sin. We're now being delivered from the power of sin, where Paul said, doth deliver. And one day, thank God, we'll be delivered from the presence of sin. Yet, will yet be delivered. You see, as we think about this thought, notice the deliverance of salvation. You see, God's desire is for every lost person to repent of their sin and receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And because of God's long-suffering, we have been saved, and so can other people be saved. In 2 Peter 3 and verse 9, that familiar verse, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering towards usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Timothy, in the first chapter and verse 16, says this, "Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth," get these words, "all long-suffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life eternal." You see, God is patiently waits on people. Thank God that he patiently one day waited for David Michael Carroll to come to him and repent of his sins and trust in Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. Well, we find the deliverance of salvation. Then notice the deliverance of the second coming. Here's the great truth, that Jesus is coming again. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. James in the fifth chapter in verse 8 says this, "Be ye also patient." He says, "Establish your heart, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh." And Peter puts it this way in 2 Peter 3 in verses 13 through 15. "Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heaven and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless." And account that, get these words, "the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to wisdom, given unto him, hath written unto you." I don't want you to be like those who say in 2 Peter 3 and verse number 4, "Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation." You see, all of us face challenges daily in our life, some to a lesser degree, some to a greater degree. But the Holy Spirit has the power to impart in us long-suffering that we need for every situation. And through long-suffering, the Holy Spirit can give you perseverance, allowing us to grow in God's purpose for our life. The Holy Spirit can give us influence, a godly influence on our family and friends and co-workers and others as well. And then lastly, the Holy Spirit can give us deliverance through the knowledge of our salvation. Thank God for that. And the soon return of our coming Savior. I wonder this evening, won't you be determined to walk in the Spirit? Let's pray.